Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 12, Season 1 of the Autodidactic Podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. This is Episode 12, and so we're nearing the end of Season 1. We'll get a couple of more shows in before taking a break for the holiday period. The last show of the season, I'd like to try and cover off listener questions which I've had. So if you have any questions that you want to get onto the prompt sheet for the last show of the season, make sure to send them in soon. The email address is rick@autodidactic.info. So today we're going to talk about the evaluation of resources when you're creating a study plan, or just generally when selecting resources. Not all information is created equal, and not all of it is accurate. So first we're going to talk about information generally and its characteristics. Then we're going to cover off how to evaluate textbooks or other traditional resources. And finally we'll look at internet resources and how to evaluate them for study purposes. For this podcast, I've drawn heavily from papers created for university students for resource evaluations for their essays and other school assignments, but it's all relevant to the self-learner, and perhaps even more so. Some of the places that I've drawn from are the Merriam Library, California State University, Flinders University in Australia, the American Library Association, and the Reference and User Services Association, and the International Association of University Libraries. So first, let's talk about information. What are the characteristics of information? Well, good information is that which is used and which creates value. Good information is relevant for its purpose, sufficiently accurate for its purpose, and complete enough to solve a problem. It's reliable and targeted to the right person. It's also communicated in time for its purpose. It contains the right level of detail and is communicated on the appropriate channel, i.e. one that's understandable to the user. Information should be easy to obtain or access. And the information should be accurate enough for the use for which it will be put. Now, to attain 100% accurate information is pretty unrealistic, as it's likely to be either too expensive or too lengthy to produce on time. And the degree of accuracy depends on the circumstances for which the information is required. Reliability deals with the truth of the information or the objectivity in which it's presented. You can really only use information confidently if you're sure of its reliability and objectivity. When researching for any subject, we might head straight to the library to find a suitable book. This is because we're reasonably confident that the information found in a book, especially one purchased by a library, is reliable, and in the case of factual information, objective. The book has been written, the author's name is printed for all to see, the publisher would have employed an editor or an expert in the field to edit the book, to do fact-checking. So in short, a lot of time and energy went into publishing that book, and for that reason, we can be reasonably confident that the information is reliable and objective. The information should be relevant to the purpose for which it is required. The information should contain all of the details required by the user. Information should be in a form that's short enough to allow for examination and use, and there should be no extraneous information. Clearly, there's a trade-off between the level of detail and the conciseness required. Presentation of information is important to the user, and information can be more readily assimilated if it is aesthetically pleasing. Information must be on time for the purpose for which it is required, because information which is received too late or that is too old is irrelevant. Now, if you're evaluating traditional resources, it can be simpler than evaluating non-traditional resources, such as websites. Now, this is because associated resources have associated workflows. So, For example, a textbook publisher employs fact-checkers, editors, etc., and they ensure that the information published is as accurate as possible at the time of publication or broadcast. So when you're going to select resources such as these traditional resources, you might want to use what's called a CARS checklist. CARS, C-A-R-S, stands for credibility, accuracy, reasonableness, and support. If you learn to use this criteria in the list, you'll be much more likely to separate high-quality information from poor-quality information. So let's do the first part, credibility. Is it a trustworthy source? Can you get the author's credentials? Is there any evidence of quality control? Is it a known or respected authority or organization? So the goal here is to find an authoritative source which supplies good evidence that allows you to trust it. And then there's accuracy. Is the information up to date? Is it factual? Is it detailed? Is it exact, comprehensive? Are the audience and purpose reflected with the intentions of completeness and accuracy? So the source is to find correct information for today, not in the past, and a source that gives an objective truth. Reasonableness. Fair, balanced, objective, reasoned, with no conflict of interest and an absence of a slanted tone. A source which engages the subject thoughtfully and reasonably and is concerned with all aspects of the truth. And finally, support. Listed sources, contact information, available collaboration, claims are supported, documents supplied. So the goal here is to a source that can provide convincing evidence for the claims that it makes, and a source that you can triangulate information or at least find multiple sources that support it. So that is CARS, credibility, accuracy, reasonableness, and support. Another way to evaluate your resource, you can use some of the librarian guidelines for picking up resources. If you do a search for resource guides or library guides or lib guides, these are a series of tools librarians created to help their community in searching and for common question. Google for lib guides for more information. Scholarly information usually refers to information that you find from your library resource. And in general, scholarly works are written by experts in the field and are vetted for accuracy and scientific rigor via accepted publication standards such as peer review or editorial processes. And a level of credibility is assumed when an item is found within a library. However, even if your evidence is sourced from the library, the quality of information should still be assessed critically. And the first thing you want to check is authority. So, who is the author? What else has the author written? In what communities and contexts does the author have expertise? So, for example, do they represent a specific gender, sexual, racial, political, social, or cultural orientation? Do they privilege some sources of authority over others? Do they have a formal role in an institution? You know, are they a professor at Oxford or Cambridge, etc.? Then the purpose. Why was this source created? Does it have an economic value for the author or publisher? Is it an educational resource? Is it for persuasion? What research questions does it attempt to answer? Does it strive to be objective? Does it fill personal, professional, or societal needs? Who is the intended audience? Is it for scholars or the general public? And then check publication and format. Where was it published? Was it published in a scholarly publication, such as an academic journal? Who was the publisher? Is it a university press? Is it formally peer-reviewed? Does the publication have a particular editorial position? Is it generally thought to be a conservative or a progressive outlet? Is the publication sponsored by other companies or organizations? And do those sponsors have a particular bias? Are there any apparent barriers to publication, i.e. was it self-published? Were there outside editors or reviewers? Where geography was it originally published and in what language? And then the relevance. How is it relevant to your studies? Does it analyze the primary resources that you're researching? Does it cover the authors and individuals that you're researching, but different primary text? Can you apply the author's framework or of analysis to your own research? What is the scope of the coverage? Is it a general overview or an in-depth analysis? Does the scope match your own information requirements? Is the time period and geographical region relevant to your research? What is the date of publication? When was the source first published? What version or edition are you using? Are there differences in different editions, such as new introductions or footnotes or new information? If the publication is online, when was it last updated? What has changed in your field of study since the publication date? Are there any published reviews or responses or rebuttals to this particular information? Documentation. Do they cite their sources? If they don't document their sources, do you have any other means of verifying the reliability of their claims? Who do they cite? Is the author affiliated with any of the other authors that they're citing? Are the cited authors part of a particular academic movement or school of thought or sponsor? Look closely at the quotation and paraphrases from other source. Do they represent the context of their cited source? Do they ignore important elements? Are they cherry-picking facts to support their arguments? Do they appropriately cite ideas that are not their own? So if you're thinking of using a printed book and you want to do some additional evaluation, Google the book title with the word review appended and read what other people think about this book or resource. Additional things you can do is enter the books or resources into Google and append one of the following words or phrases: controversial, dispute, disagreement, alternative views, debate, arguments for and against. So this will help you broaden the scope of your resources and information. Now, facts we learn today may be timely today, but tomorrow, no. This is especially true when it comes to technology, science, medicine, or business. So always try and get the latest information whenever possible. Next, we come to evaluate the resources from the internet. And for this, I recommend using a system developed by Merriam Library, California State University, back in 2010. It's called CRAAP, which is C-R-A-A-P, which stands for Currency, Relevance, Authority, Accuracy, and Purpose. Very similar to what you were doing for traditional resources. So, currency, what to look for in a website. So, does it have the most current information, or is it historical information, or is it information covered over time? When was the website published or created? Try and find a copyright date. When was the site last updated or revised? And are all the links current and clickable? Then authority. Who is supplying this information? Is it an educational institute? In other words, does it have a .eu extension, a government agency, is a .gov, a commercial supplier, .com, a nonprofit organization, .org, or other? Is the supplier a reputable organization? So look at the about page, links on the home pages, and links from other websites. Is there an author or named contact person? What are the author's credentials? And, you know, refer basically back to you as you would with a traditional author. Has this site been reviewed by experts or professional organizations? Then we move on to accuracy or validity. Are the sources of information cited? Compared to other sources, is the information complete and accurate? Are the links also complete and accurate, or are there discrepancies? Is the selection criteria provided for the links found in the website? Does the site appear to be edited, or are there typographical or spelling errors? And then look at the audience. Is the site appropriate for your needs, or is it too technical? Is it too elementary? Is it too full of jargon? Who's the intended audience? Is it experts or the general public? Then review the point of view or the bias of the website. Does the information appear to be filtered or is it free from bias? Could the organization sponsoring the site have a stake in how the information is presented? Is the site free of advertisements? Are there various points of views, theories, techniques, or schools of thought offered? Are there links to other sites which may have a different point of view? And then the purpose and context of the site. What is the purpose of the site or the article? Is it to share some new scholarly information or review? Is it to report developments in an evolving news story? Is it just a rant about government conspiracies? Does it show how the website relates to the purpose for which you need the information? So that there are many sites on the internet that have legitimate, useful information, but it also has a lot of information which is accurate or information which is inaccurate, but often repeated, sometimes virally. And remember, appearances can be deceiving. Don't assume just because it's a great-looking website that it's automatically credible. You know, very professional, sophisticated web pages can be made for very few dollars, and anyone can put up a site that looks expensive and authoritative. Now, Wikipedia can be a great place to start to get an understanding of a topic. It may lead you to some very relevant, high-quality resources. Try to look at the references of the wiki page. At the bottom of each wiki page, they have references. And try and assess the quality of the references you find. Many Wikipedia entries will cite scholarly references, including books or journals, in their references. And so you can look further into the topic by following the reference chain. Now, we covered a couple of acronyms, CARS and CRAP, but you might want to remember just AAOCC, which stands for Authority, Accuracy, Objectivity, Currency, and Coverage. So these basic same questions should be asked of all the information sources you use. Books, journal articles, web pages, blogs, videos, sound recordings, ebooks, etc. These questions will help you identify good resources. Bad resources are relatively easily identifiable. If a resource makes a lot of value statements, so he's the world's best player, as opposed to he won 5 consecutive world championships. If it makes references to vague or unnamed groups, you know, some people think, many people think, many people have done, etc. If it has few or no references to other publications. However, let's remember that to be fair and objective for your material, you need to be fair and objective too. A major error that many researchers make is to look only for resources whose ideas, findings, or arguments they already agree with, or, in other words, confirmational bias. There's no single perfect indicator of reliability, truthfulness, or value. You must make an inference from a collection of clues and indicators and based on the use that you plan to make of this resource. Well, hopefully this has given you some idea how to evaluate resources for your study material. I'd be interested in hearing your evaluation of this podcast as a resource, and I'd like to thank you for listening. Next week, I'm going to briefly cover the topic of getting certifications or qualifications in your self-studied topics, or how does an autodidactic get qualifications? Is it even possible? So I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.